Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll learn about the Joining Community Forces events put on by the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and discover the VA compensation and pension claim process. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
During the month of April, the state of Minnesota takes time to recognize the Month of the Military Child. The purpose of this special month is to emphasize the important role military children play while a parent or an important adult in their life is serving. We are learning from our children that a life for a military child isn't the same as for their peers. They have a unique set of pressures as their loved one is deployed. The children worry about a loved one in harm's way. They also endure extra stress both at home and in school when a parent is gone for extended periods of time. While many of our military youth are part of the Minnesota National Guard family and call a Minnesota community home, some have parents in the active duty or reserves and may face numerous moves as a result of their parents' assignments. The worry, stress, and moves all make normal childhood activities difficult. It is estimated that over 15,000 children in Minnesota have been affected by a parent's deployment. During the month of April, Governor Dayton will send a military child a letter of gratitude in honor of their service and sacrifice. I encourage all military parents to register their sons and daughters to receive a letter from the governor. It's a simple process that will warm the heart of your child and make them feel extra special for enduring their role in your military family. To register your child, visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org and click on the events and deals.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining me now to talk about Joining Community Forces is a frequent visitor to the show, the Director of Military Outreach, Annette Kuiper. Annette, welcome back.
Thank you, Tom. Good to be here.
We're going to have to get a plaque for you. You come to the studio so often.
I know. I love to come and brag about what our communities and companies are doing across Minnesota.
And what has the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program been up to since your last visit?
Well, we're doing a couple things. Once a year, we bring our Yellow Ribbon community volunteers and our service providers and all of our partners around the state together for our Joining Community Forces events that we're going to talk about today. But also another thing is I've been able to obtain two AmeriCorps Vista volunteers that are going to help us through a grant through the American Legion Auxiliary that are going to work with each community to ensure that we have looked at all the resources within a community that we can connect to the Yellow Ribbon Network. They'll be starting with me in April.
So if you've got more people to help you, I can't imagine how fast this thing's going to grow now.
Oh my gosh, they're going to start in the metro area in the western part of the state, and then hopefully I can have the grant for next year and get them in greater Minnesota to help us out and really connect with all those service providers that we can identify in communities across Minnesota.
Look out, Minnesota. Here comes Annette Kuiper and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Annette, you brought a guest with you again today.
I did. Each year when we do our Joining Community Forces event, we have a project manager that really helps us coordinate these large-scale events that happen in five different locations across the state. So it definitely is a good undertaking for anybody. But Master Sergeant Brigham Fanning has been able to really coordinate the effort, and we'll be starting these events in April and May, and we're very excited to have them get started for this year.
Sergeant Fanning, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Good afternoon.
Glad to have you here this afternoon to talk a little bit about joining community forces. But before that, can you tell us how long you've been in the military?
28 years, Tom.
All with the Minnesota Army National Guard?
Most of it with the Minnesota Army National Guard. I was 4 years active Air Force on my first tour.
And your MOS, your specialty?
I hold four of them currently, though I'm a medic.
A medic?
Yes, sir.
Annette, you've picked a good partner here in case something happens. And your position now?
I'm the community outreach non-commissioned officer. I work for the state family programs with the Minnesota National Guard.
So you spend a lot of time with Ms. Kuiper.
I do.
And you're smiling, so that must be good. I know she keeps moving all the time.
Keep them working.
Just a slave driver, Annette. Annette, can you tell us... joining community forces. What's that all about?
So at these events, this will be our fourth year that we've held these events, and it's quite exciting. What we do is we bring together all the Yellow Ribbon Networks, which we have 95 Yellow Ribbon Networks across Minnesota in our communities. But of those 95, it's in 212 cities and 26 counties. So we want to bring them together to share best practices, to build relationships, to update them on initiatives and educate them on resources. It's a great opportunity for all of them to come together and learn what's all the great things that are happening in their communities.
So is this a series of events around the state?
Yes. So we hold them in five different locations. This year, we're trying something a little different. We're going to make it easier for our volunteers to attend. We're going to ask them to choose an afternoon session or an evening session with a shared dinner. And this will be an opportunity to make sure that we have everyone together at one point during the day, but give them an opportunity to choose what works best in their schedules.
And I imagine you're bringing along some other people to share some information, such as family assistance centers and some other folks?
Yes. So our first year, we just brought the communities together, but it really didn't take us a long time to start to figure out that we needed to bring all of our service providers that are out there through our family assistance centers, our key partners, such as the Department of Economic and Employment Development, Employer Support of the Garden Reserve, key partners and community organizations that help us with our reintegration events. We needed to bring them all together with our communities to ensure synchronization of efforts. So each of us were kind of holding separate events the first year, and we decided early on that that was something we needed to connect, and we needed to make sure we all were coming together. So we changed it from the Yellow Ribbon Seminar to the Joining Community Forces so we could get more guests to attend.
We're speaking with Annette Kuiper and Master Sergeant Brigham Fanning on Minnesota Military Radio. Annette, the purpose of these seminars, as you said, is this to educate and share best practices? Was that your main focus?
Yes, really threefold. To share best practices among our communities, to educate them on initiatives so they're not recreating the wheel, that they know what kinds of resources are available to support them as they're supporting our military across Minnesota, and to build relationships to ensure they know about each other and to help each other in the areas in which they are helping our service members, military families, and veterans across Minnesota.
And Sergeant Fanning, Annette said that there'll be five locations. Can you tell us when and where there'll be these meetings will be held?
Yes, Tom. The first one's going to be on April 23rd in Albert Lea, Minnesota at Wedgewood Golf and Conference Center. The next one is going to be on April 30th in Alexandria at Arrowwood Resort. The next one followed after that is the 7th of May in Wilmer at Ridgewood Community College, the 14th of May in Cloquet at the Cloquet VFW, and lastly, the 20th of May in Bloomington at the Best Buy headquarters.
Annette, springtime in Minnesota, you're going to get around the state, aren't you?
We are. Our whole support crew will be going to all of these to make sure that these events are fun, that they provide this great atmosphere for us to share these best practices in.
And I would guess, I'd put money on it, that the information on these dates and locations is available at our favorite website, beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
Yes, not only that, but people can register. We welcome anyone to attend who has an interest in synchronizing efforts to support service members, veterans, or military families across Minnesota.
And Sergeant Fanning, just in general, we'll get into this a little deeper, but we've got about a minute left. What type of agendas, how long are these going to last, and what type of things you're going to do?
Sure. Like Annette said, Tom, we're going to have two sessions, an afternoon session that's going to go from 2 to 5 o'clock. The evening session goes from 6 to 9 p.m. with a shared dinner between the two, the outgoing and the incoming group, between 5 and 6 p.m. at each of the things or at each of the events. We're going to do networking and team building. We're also going to do Yellow Ribbon updates, and we will do sharing best practices. So it's going to be an awesome event.
So, Annette, you're doing double duty, afternoon session and evening session at each location.
At each location. So we hope that it fits with anybody's schedule so we can get everyone together.
I'll bet you're going to run out of voice by the end of the day.
I probably will with all the updates I have to give.
So once again, these Joining Community Forces seminars are going to be held at five different locations. Information on that can be found at beyondtheyellowribbon.org. And we're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to dig in a little bit deeper into these agendas and try to share with our listeners what type of things they might experience at the Joining Community Forces events. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and today's show we've been talking about the Joining Community Forces events with the Director of Military Outreach, Annette Kuiper, and Master Sergeant Brigham Fanning. And Annette, these events, once again, are part of your program with Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. You can find information on it at beyondtheyellowribbon.org, but you're going to have them at 5 locations all spring long.
Right, all across the state. It just brings all of our Yellow Ribbon networks together to really share all the great things they've been doing across Minnesota.
And we want to dig in a little bit. You told us in the first segment that whenever you go to these communities, you're going to have an afternoon session, a dinner, and an evening session. And I assume the people that were there in the afternoon and the people that come for the evening can all be together during a dinner and probably a dinner program of some kind.
Right. We want an opportunity to make sure we were able to have everyone together, but also provide these time periods that would allow them to work within their schedule. Many people are volunteers within their community, might not be able to get away from work. So the afternoon session or the evening session, having those choices will help us get everyone to the same place at the same time.
And these seminars or gatherings of your Yellow Ribbon communities or networks are for educational purposes and to trade best practices. So there's going to be some interaction during those. But what resources are you bringing with you?
Well, we always bring our key partners, our family assistance center personnel, people from our veteran employment reps from the Department of Economic and Employment Development, and the employer support of the Guard and Reserve, our family readiness support assistants that are tied to all of our Armory and Air Wing communities, all of our partners throughout the communities that deal in mental health or suicide prevention, as well as just support partners that we use for all of our reintegration events. Those are the kinds of programs that we bring that partner with us for many of our Yellow Ribbon events and show up at a lot of our Yellow Ribbon events. So we really appreciate the partnership.
So the educational facet of this is so that your members of your Yellow Ribbon communities can learn what other resources are out there so they don't have to duplicate efforts. They can get people within their communities to the appropriate agency at the right time.
Yes. Like, for example, at our Minnesota Workforce Centers, just finding employers within communities that can help our veteran employment reps with interview prep or helping network within a certain industry, that has allowed us to be able to do that when we coordinate these efforts.
And of course, if there's a military family in some kind of financial distress, you get them to the family assistance centers. They can get them into the Minnesota Military Family Foundation and process it, because that's all in place and the system is in place to take care of them.
Absolutely. We don't need our Yellow Ribbon networks to be out raising funds or raising money. We refer them to resources like the Minnesota Military Family Foundation.
We've been speaking today about the Joining Community Forces events with Annette Kuiper and Master Sergeant Brigham Fanning on Minnesota Military Radio. Sergeant Fanning, can you walk us through a typical day? There's going to be afternoon and evening seminar, dinner in between. What's the experience going to be like, and who are they going to hear? Who are they going to be able to talk to?
Absolutely, Tom. Just to walk through the agenda, the afternoon session, we'll open it up about 1:30 for registration and networking time. 2 o'clock, we'll start with a welcome and opening comments. Then we'll roll into some networking and team building event time between the groups, the small groups that we set up. We'll do some break time there, and then we'll roll into Minnesota Beyond the Yellow Ribbon update. So that'll talk about new initiatives and programs that we're going to be doing in the Yellow Ribbon network area. We'll then give them some time for best practices sharing, roll into the Yellow Ribbon Network team solution. So we'll give them a scenario-based issue maybe that they've had in their community, and they'll work together as small group teams to try to resolve or come up with a resolution of what they would do if they came upon a situation like that in their Yellow Ribbon network.
Kind of a test case.
Absolutely. And gives them opportunities to share with each other how they would deal with that. What are some of their thought processes and decision-making models that they would use to approach those situations and resolve those issues. The next thing, we'll roll into dinner, and that's where the evening group will come in, and they will join the afternoon session for a shared dinner hour. During the dinner hour, we're going to show a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon success video that we've created. Then we'll have a keynote speaker come and speak at each one of the events, followed by a Minnesota National Guard leader that will come up and give some remarks to the group. We'll do a short awards presentation, and then we'll have closing remarks. The evening session will mirror what I spoke about with the afternoon session previously.
Oh, Annette, you said and we talked about in the first segment, there were five locations and five different dates around the state. I assume you've kind of divided up the state into different regions and try to get all of those yellow ribbon networks within those regions to come to these seminars.
Yes, we've really tried to make it convenient to make sure that we've connected in every area of the state so that everyone can attend.
Sergeant Fanning, can you run through those dates and locations one more time for us?
Absolutely. April 23rd, we're going to be in Albert Lea, Minnesota at the Wedgewood Cove Golf Club. On the 30th of April, we're going to be in Alexandria at Arrowhead Resort. The 7th of May, we'll be in Wilmer at Ridgewater Community College. The 14th of May, we'll be in Cloquet at the Cloquet VFW. And lastly, on the 20th of May, we'll be in Bloomington at the Best Buy headquarters.
Annette, have you had any indication from your Yellow Ribbon communities of the sign-up starting already?
Yes. Well, we just sent it out this week, so we're already generating some great excitement because everyone looks forward to this every year, to be able to come and share their best practices and hear what other Yellow Ribbon networks are doing. So it's something that our Yellow Ribbon networks really look forward to. This year and last year, we invited our Yellow Ribbon companies as well, so it was great to see our companies attend as they were able to see what the communities were doing.
Annette, one of the things I think we should probably review again is the type of activities that your Yellow Ribbon communities engage in when they're trying to help military families in need.
Well, our Yellow Ribbon networks are identifying service members and military families in their community that need assistance and connecting them to resources. They're also forming volunteer groups that can help any age veteran, any military family of any service branch, and any service member rake leaves, shovel snow, help with getting kids to sporting events, those types of things. So we're seeing that happen all across the state. And it's a unified effort, a synchronization of effort, a synchronization of community resources. If a faith-based organization has wonderful resources, for example, for couples, a couples retreat, or resources for childcare, we're able to tap into those for our military family members when they need it.
And that sometimes is just as simple as a Yellow Ribbon community member stopping by for a cup of coffee to visit the spouse of a deployed service person.
Absolutely. Something that just to let them know that they're in the community and they're not alone and they're not isolated or alone. And also for elderly veterans who have been home and alone, we have been able to connect them to resources, get them to the VA for hearing aids or other care. So it's been a wonderful example of what community capacity building can do for our military families.
Annette, one more question. I'm sure you're still looking for more communities that want to join and become Yellow Ribbon networks. Can you explain quickly how that happens?
Yes, we ask a community to form a steering committee made up of key areas within the community. For example, public safety, the school district and youth programs, as well as social services and city leadership. And we ask them to complete an action plan with minimum requirements to support in every area of the community and synchronize their resources in every area of the community to support service members, veterans, and military families. And it's been very successful across our state, and we welcome any community that's interested in that. They can find more information on our beyondtheyellowribbon.org page.
Sergeant Fanning, it sounds like a big series of seminars coming up. Are you ready for it?
I sure am. I'm very excited about what we got coming up for the Yellow Ribbon Networks.
Well, I hope you have a good turnout, and I'm sure you're going to, at every one of those, you'll probably pick up some nugget. You'll probably learn something.
You bet I would.
Annette, we've just got about a minute left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Well, I'd just like to thank all the communities across Minnesota that have made these commitments, that are continuing these efforts and sustaining these efforts across Minnesota. It truly has become the model for the nation of how our communities can come together and synchronize their resources.
Sergeant Fanning, Annette, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you,
Tom. Thank you, Tom.
That was the Director of Military Outreach, Annette Kuiper, and Master Sergeant Brigham Fanning joining us today to talk about joining community forces. And you can find out all about those seminars to be held at five locations around the state at beyondtheyellowribbon.org. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll discover the VA compensation and pension claim process next.
You're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Network. Stay tuned for more and follow us at minnesotamilitaryradio.com.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to discover the VA compensation and pension claim process. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
During the month of April, the state of Minnesota takes time to recognize Month of the Military Child. This important month emphasizes the role military children play while a parent or important adult is serving. Children of service members sacrifice a great deal when their parent is deployed, and they are rarely recognized for that sacrifice. A deployment can be emotionally challenging for the entire family, and it can be especially confusing and stressful for children. Children of service members deal with many issues unique to their situation. Some move frequently, worry about the loved one in harm's way, or just feel the stress of being separated from a parent for extended periods of time. All of these issues can make normal childhood activities more difficult. During April, Governor Mark Dayton will send military children a letter of gratitude in honor of their service and sacrifice. To register a military child to receive a letter from the governor, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleteau. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Gary Wilhelm, doctor and medical director at the Compensation and Pension Clinic at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. Dr. Wilhelm, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for having me here.
Sir, I understand you served in the United States Army.
I did.
And were you drafted?
I was drafted and ended up being sent to the Medical Corpsman School in San Antonio, Texas at Fort Sam Houston, Texas.
And how many years did you serve, sir?
Well, in the end, altogether, it was about 33. I didn't really plan it that way, but it just sort of gradually developed over the years. I was 2 years enlisted, and then I got commissioned when I went to medical school.
And you met someone that kind of changed the course of your career.
Yes, I did. I met my wife when she was a cadet in the Army nurse training program. She was a student in the microbiology lab where I was the instructor. I'd come back from active duty, and took her a couple of years to decide that I was okay, but she eventually started going out with me, and I realized she owed time in the Army. I said, you know, I already tried that, and, you know, I kind of lucked out. I didn't get sent to Vietnam, so I think maybe I should, you know, not press it too much. And she said, oh, don't worry, we can get married. I'm just going to be in for a short time. But it ended up being 20 years before she retired.
kind of a lucky break for your career, sir.
Well, it turned out I really went back in because I wanted to be able to be geographically located with her. But once I got my MD, that was fairly easy to do. But then once I got in and I became a flight surgeon, I realized I really liked it. And of course, people were a lot nicer to me, and I got paid more money as a doc. So it was a little easier than when I was a private at the beginning.
Discovered that officers got paid a little differently.
They did.
Well, sir, what brought you to the Minneapolis VA Medical Center?
Well, I was actually in the Missouri Guard at the time, but I knew I was getting close to when I'd have a mandatory retirement. But again, my wife, when she retired from the Army a few years later, she reminded me that we had forgotten to have a son or any kids. And I pointed out to her that I was pretty old, and she said, well, that's okay, you can just get some life insurance, but I think we ought to have a kid. I'm about a decade older than she is. So she had her son, who's 18 now, and I was kind of looking at what college cost, and I figured, you know, I need to develop some kind of civilian career. So we actually came up here so I could train in an occupational medicine program at Health Partners and get a Master's of Public Health at the U. And I was doing that because I knew I wanted to go to work at the VA, and I knew I wanted to go to work in compensation and pension. And that's the area where you would train as a physician to learn those kind of skills.
So you followed your wife into the Army and stayed for quite a while.
I did.
And then she followed you back up here to Minnesota.
Exactly. Yes. Right.
Well, sir, can you tell us what is the compensation and pension clinic at the Minneapolis VA, and how does it work?
So the compensation and pension clinic at any particular VA is the clinic where a veteran would come if they are claiming some kind of injury, disability, or sickness that occurred on active duty and it's still causing them trouble. So they would first go to a veteran service officer to get their claim started. And then once the veteran service officer and the regional office develops the claim, the regional office calls us up and says, you need to make an appointment for this particular veteran. The veteran would come to our clinic and then see the appropriate specialist. You know, if it's a hearing loss, they would see an audiologist. If it's a mental health issue, a psychologist. If it's a medical issue, a physician, and have an exam and a history done to determine the extent of the service connection.
We're speaking with Dr. Gary Wilhelm from the Minneapolis VA Compensation and Pension Clinic on Minnesota Military Radio. So, sir, as we've said many times on this show, for our veterans, they should go get their discharge paper, their DD-214.
They absolutely should.
Go check in with their county veteran service officer, whether they need him right now or not. And if they have some kind of issue related to their time in service, then the county veteran service officer can start the claim. A veteran service organization such as the American Legion or the Minnesota DAV can advocate for them. And once all that paperwork goes in, then they get notified to come into your clinic so that you can look at the evidence and determine whether or not there's really a problem.
Exactly. Exactly. And I would urge, a lot of veterans will say, well, there's not that much wrong with me, or I don't have that many problems. But it's always probably wiser to have a county veteran service officer or a veteran service officer go through your records with you and actually look and see what's in there. There may be things that are compensable that you don't actually know about or that you're not aware of.
So they start by looking at their medical records when they were in the service to determine whether or not there was any mention or any writing about a specific problem, such as hearing loss, as you said.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, yes. a lot of our artillery people can say, what, a lot? And they need your help.
That is true.
So if they've got some kind of evidence, then they start processing a claim, goes out to the VA, you get notified, and you set up an appointment, and in they come.
Exactly, right. Yes, sir, right.
Are there some type of claims that are more common than others, Doctor?
Well, the overall most common claims we've been getting over the last 5 or 6 years are what are usually classed as musculoskeletal problems, so back pain issues, shoulder issues, hip, knee, ankle, that sort of thing. And it's increased, I think, to some degree because the standard combat load in the Southwest Asian conflict is 48 pounds. And that's pretty much what you're going to be wearing most of the day if you're wearing your load-bearing equipment. So to wear that much equipment all the time can take a toll on your body. So yeah, the biggest chunk would be musculoskeletal and also hearing loss.
Doctor, I would guess that you see different issues from different theaters of war, such as the World War II guys or the Korean or Vietnam, of course. Agent Orange is there.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the first Gulf War, there seemed to be some lung problems from all of the smoke and the fumes and, mm-hmm. and some other issues from Afghanistan, Kuwait.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. That's right. Yeah, the big one for Vietnam would be the Agent Orange-related diagnoses.
So are you seeing a lot of Vietnam veterans coming in after 40 years after they were there?
We actually still do. And some of it is that some of these diseases like type 2 diabetes, coronary artery disease, develop later in life, but are still compensable, still service-related. And others occur because a veteran maybe just felt that that wasn't something that they hadn't gotten severely injured, but yet they're still... it's still possible for them to be compensated. So when they come in, we give them the exam and hopefully get them service connected.
Doctor, you mentioned before we went on the air that there's actually a couple of important parts of this. They submit the claim, you check them out in the compensation and pension clinic, and then if they determine that they actually do have a good claim, then there's an eligibility issue.
Exactly, yes. So once someone's service connected, which... Actually, I got service connected. Then for about a year, nothing happened. I kept telling my wife, well, it just takes time. The reason nothing was happening was I never went back to my veteran service officer and got my eligibility set up. It's actually two separate processes. So it's really important once you get the letter that says you're service connected, go back and get your eligibility statement done.
So once you've been through that process, there's another form to fill out for eligibility that once that goes in, then the VA Medical Center can start scheduling appointments and starting to help you with those issues.
That's right. The form's a 1010EZ is what the VA calls the eligibility form.
1010EZ. All right, doctor, we have to take a short break, and we'll be back in a moment with Dr. Gary Wilhelm, who is the medical director of the Compensation and Pension Clinic at the Minneapolis VA. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been talking to Dr. Gary Wilhelm, the medical director of the Compensation and Pension Clinic at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. And as we've said, doctor, over and over again in this program, and once again today, if our veterans have any kind of issues, whether they do or not, they should go get their discharge paper, their DD-214, go visit their county veteran service officer, get that registered, because even if they don't need help now, they may need help sometime in the future. But if they have any issues directly related to their time in the service, then they should go talk to their county veteran service officers. They'll start a claim, file it with the VA. And then at some point after they've done that paperwork and provided the backup documents, then your office gets notified and they come to visit you at the Compensation and Pension Clinic?
Yes, the veteran service officer has taken the claim they filed and sent it over to the regional office, to the VBA. A rater at the VBA does what's called develop the claim. So they go through the claim, they make sure all the information needed to support the claim is available, what's usually called the claims file. And then that rater actually makes a formal request to the Compensation and Pension Clinic for an appointment for that specific veteran for that specific claim, or it might be a set of claims. Sometimes I'll have people come in that might have 5 or 10 or 15 separate claims, or it could be as little as just one claim. And that letter is sent out to the veteran. It'll specify a date and a time. We actually try to contact them by phone, but at some point the letter goes out and that tells them where to report, the date to report, time to report. And some veterans will actually get contacted by sometimes we have to send people out to what are called national contractors because we don't have room for everybody at the local compensation and pension clinic. But it'll be the same type of letter and the same type of exam, and those contractors are trained to do that specific work. So then when you see the examiner, the provider, if it's for hearing, you'd see an audiologist, a doctoral holding audiologist. If it's for mental health issues, you'd see a doctoral holding psychologist or psychiatrist. And then pretty much for everything else, it's either a physician or sometimes it might be a nurse practitioner. We have one or two in our clinic that are specifically trained in that area.
So that would involve a physical examination and a review of the file and some questions and answers?
Exactly. The initial piece would be the provider would review the file. Then they would sit down with the veteran and take the history from the veteran. You know, what was it that happened? When did it happen? How did it affect you at the time? You know, what's happened to you since that time? And then generally there would be a physical exam. In some cases that doesn't apply. It depends on the way the rating scheme is set up. So the rating scheme acts for very specific parts of the exam. So for instance, in a joint exam, you have to measure the degrees of range of motion, so that requires the physical exam of the joint. But that's done by that particular examiner on that day. And then once the exam is all done, all the questions have been asked and answered, then the veteran's free to go.
So then sometime after that exam, you make a determination, send out a notification of that, and if they are judged to have an issue, then they have to go back to the county veteran service officer and file that form for eligibility before they can get treatment at the VA hospital.
Exactly. Our exam is actually transmitted electronically to the VBA regional office, and the rater goes back through and actually makes the full determination of service connection or not, and they determine the percentage, and then a letter is sent from the rater and the regional office to the veteran notifying them of the findings.
And if for some reason they don't like the findings, there is an appeal process where they can go to a veteran service organization, which will take a look at the file, see if there's any additional information, resubmit it, and so that it can get a second look.
Exactly. And if the veteran's unhappy with the findings, the appeal is definitely the right thing to do.
Doctor, you've said you're busy, and sometimes you have to farm out some of that work. What are the future plans for the Minneapolis Compensation and Pension Clinic?
So our big change is right now there's a build going on at the federal building, or the Whipple building. It's about 0.7 miles southeast of the main VA campus in Minneapolis. And that is going to be an entire compensation and pension clinic within the Whipple building. There'll be x-ray capability, a small lab, mental health, medical exam, pulmonary function testing, EKGs. We're trying to set it up so that we can do everything right there if it's at all possible.
So that's just the building on the other side of the freeway.
Exactly.
Within sight distance of the VA Medical Center.
Just across the way from Fort Snelling there.
Yeah, and so you're working on that now. When does that open, sir?
Right now, the target's the very end of September of this year.
I'll bet that'll be exciting to have a nice new facility and be able to move people through in a little more timely fashion.
Oh, it'll be, yeah. I think it'll be very good. It would be the first clinic that's co-located in the same building with the Raiders and the regional office personnel. So we hope that'll speed things up.
And the veterans,
Veteran
Service Organization advocates are in that building as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. The veteran service officers are there as well.
Sounds pretty convenient.
That's what we're hoping.
Sir, we just got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our veterans out there listening today?
Well, I would just encourage any veteran, if you haven't made a claim, even if you have enough money and even if you have health insurance, maybe just go ahead and make the claim, even if you don't need the services of the VA, somebody else does. And the more veterans that make their claims, the more veterans that sign up, it's just better for everybody who has served.
So registering with your county veteran service officer, and if you have issues making a claim, is good for all the veterans, not just you.
I think so. It helps the whole group that's served over all the years.
Doctor, we're about out of time. I'd like to thank you for joining us today, and I hope that new compensation and pension clinic works out real well for you.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me here.
Thank you, sir. That was Gary Wilhelm, the medical director of the Compensation and Pension Clinic at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. Joining me now is David Anderson, the Wadena County Veteran Service Officer and the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. David, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. How are you doing today?
We're doing just great, and we just had a wonderful discussion with Dr. Wilhelm about the Compensation and Pension Clinic at the VA hospital, and of course, we told everybody, all the veterans, to go get their DD-214 and go visit your county veteran service officer.
That's great advice, Tom.
So the county veteran service officers never quit training, do they? There's always something to learn.
Always. There's always something to learn. I usually come to work every day and learn something new.
David, today I think you wanted to tell us about the VA travel program.
Yes, Tom. The VA travel program is basically for service-connected veterans, veterans with a service-connected disability, any veterans that is on the pension program, or any veteran that may be below the poverty limit. The mileage rate is 41.5 cents a mile, okay? Now, for the first three visits in any month, okay, it's a round trip. There's a round trip charge of $6 or a one-way trip of $3. So if you rate the travel pay, okay, they will pay you 41.5 cents a mile from your physical address to the VA healthcare facility. Now, if this is your first, second, or third visit, and it's a round trip, they will deduct $6 from that, with a maximum of $18 a month. Once you hit the $18 a month number, they will not deduct any more deductions out of your travel pay. So you will get the whole amount. Now, the veterans, when you receive travel pay, the veterans that will receive travel pay will be any veteran on a pension program, and that's to any VA medical appointment. This isn't for any of the regional offices visits or anything like that. So if you are on the pension program and you have a VA medical appointment, you will receive travel pay. If you are a low-income veteran, i.e., you don't have wartime service, but you would be eligible for the pension program, you will get travel pay. If you are going to a compensation exam, and this is kind of a big one, if you're going to a compensation exam, you will get travel pay for the round trip. Now, if you're a veteran that is going for a service-connected disability, hearing loss, tinnitus, something like that, okay, you will get travel pay for that appointment only. The only time a veteran that has a service-connected disability will get travel pay to each and every appointment would be if they're 30% or greater.
And if our veterans have any questions about all of those rules, once again, they can talk to their county veteran service officer.
Exactly, exactly.
David, we're just about out of time. Thanks for joining us again today.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
That was David Anderson, the Wadena County Veteran Service Officer and the President of the Minnesota Association of Veteran Service Officers. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Annette Kuiper, Master Sergeant Brigham Fanning, Dr. Gary Wilhelm, David Anderson, Commissioner Larry Shalito, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about the Transition Assistance Program here in Minnesota and check in with retired Command Sergeant Major Scott Mills. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.